children of God. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under guardian. So Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male and female, for you all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This fourth Sunday, when we have had the children in a special space in the back, I guarantee you, you will not find a softer rug to touch. Ask me how I know. Go ahead. Okay, I got down on it and I got back up on my own. I make decisions like that. I say, should I or shouldn't I? Now, in my house, I have a rule. If I get down, you leave me alone till I get up on my own. It wasn't pretty, but I did it. I did it before you all got here because I knew how not pretty it was going to be. But we are glad they are with us this morning. Amen. I want to thank you for letting me go through these amazing letters of Paul. You know, sometimes we get kind of caught up in the world and we forget to flip open our Bible and really unpack some stuff. And so you might notice from the book of Romans last week, Paul was talking to the church about some of their possible hiccups. And so he's speaking to the church at Galatia this week of one of their possible hiccups. I love Galatians so much. So someone showed me something this morning that said the sentence began, what was it, Dana? You stupid Galatians. Yeah, you stupid Galatians. And I said, mine's not quite like that. Mine's is a little softer. Mine says, you irrational Galatians. Who put a spell on you? Christ Jesus was put on display as crucified before your eyes. I just want to know this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so irrational? After you started with the Spirit, are you now finishing up with your own human effort? Everybody take a big deep breath. Does anybody find themselves doing that a little bit? Yep. I've had quite a conversation with the Lord this week. A lot of things have been going on, and I went, you know, Lord, As Christians, I hope people can look at us and know we are. Would we be found guilty of being a Christian? Oof. Galatians goes on, did you experience so much for nothing? I wonder if it really was for nothing. So does the one providing you with the Spirit and working miracles among you do this by you doing the works of the law or by you believing what you heard? Sometimes I have to be reminded, because there is great discussion about the law and living by the law. And Paul is pretty sure that once Jesus came, and I've said this to a few of you, and if I've said it to too many of you, well, it's like the gospel. You're going to hear it again and again. Get ready for it. I had a lengthy discussion with a young person, and we were talking about the world, and you know, they've got a world that we're leaving them in legacy that's pretty wacky. And they're trying to talk to me about the law that somebody had called them out on. the law that someone had called them out on. And they looked in my eyes and they said, "So did Jesus coming mean nothing?" Oof. I kind of think that's what Paul is trying to say today. He believes, and I think I agree with him. You know, our beliefs are a choice. We choose to believe what we choose to believe. We do. And my choice, I hope, is always to err to the side of grace. If you catch me not in that, you call me out. Promise? Okay. That the law was the law in anticipation. It was a way we thought to keep us safe. I really do believe that. And yet we started using it to not. We started using the law to call each other out. You ever feel like you've been called out a little bit? People were using the law. The biggest thing that he seems to be talking about this piece here was, it was amazing to me. I thought, woo. The Galatians were having these discussions, the former Jews becoming Christians, Gentiles becoming Christians. Are you with me? Two separate groups of people. I hate to sound like it was us and they, but it was a little bit. And the people that were the Jews were calling the new Gentiles out to be circumcised. Hold that bus. Paul says, nope. Paul even talks about eating the right foods and not the wrong foods. See, that's all the law. It's all the law. And Paul says, again, did Jesus come meaning nothing to us? Now, that's pretty simplified. Really big biblical scholars are going, is that all you got, Marsha, out of this deal? Well, for the day, yeah, it may be. He goes on and he says, the promises were made to Abraham and to his descendants. It doesn't say, and to the descendants, as referring to many rather than just one. It says, and to your descendant, who is Christ. I'm saying this, the law, which came 430 years later, doesn't invalidate the agreement that was previously validated by God, so that it cancels the promise. If the inheritance were based upon the law, it would no longer be from the promise. But God has given it graciously to Abraham through a promise. So why was the law given? Oh, this is a good part. Hang on. It was added because of offenses until the descendants would come to whom the promise had been made. It was put in place through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, the mediator does not take one side, but God is one. So is the law against the promise of God? Absolutely not. If a law had been given that was able to give life, then righteousness would be in fact have come from the law. But Scripture locked up in all things under sin. See, the law was given us so we would not sin. So that the promise based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ might be given to those who have faith. Before faith came, we were guarded under the law, locked up until faith that was coming would be revealed, protected, so that the law became our custodian until Christ, so that we might be made righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. Wow. Now you have to read that about 16 times, which I've done. When you read Scripture, don't ever just read it once and think you have it. Would you do that for me? You need to read Scripture about at least 12 times. I learned that in school. You all sent me to school to learn this. If you think reading one piece of Scripture, well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit speaks into you. That could be crazy. That could work. But sometimes I find in the world today, people use the law to kind of beat each other up. Anybody ever experienced that? Thou shalt nots. When we know that when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? And this goes around in my head all the time, so you're going to hear it all the time. Do you remember what he said? Ooh, somebody's been practicing. Who had to learn this in third grade for, yeah, confirmation? Pretty simplified. At one time in one of my classes, the professors, he was, oh my gosh, he was wonderful. And he was giving us everything, and I was receiving most of it. Okay, a lot of it. Some of it, because he was so good. And I just smiled, and I said, he said, so what do you think about that, Marsh? And I said, well, here's just a thought. That God knew we couldn't keep 10 of them straight, so he took it down to 2. Love God, love others. He doesn't say, love others that are like you. Dadgummit. That's so much easier, isn't it? I could just love somebody who loves really good chili and a cupcake. So much easier than somebody who loves green salads. Just saying, I want to be brutally honest with you. God loves you so much, and your faith in Jesus Christ is what sets us free. Over and over this week, I have heard in kind of in my head these words. You know, God would call us to be in unity. Not uniformed, not uniform in our thinking. Miss Rita said to me, what was I supposed to do with that sermon title, What Are You Wearing? Well, did you hear the piece of scripture that says then we put on Christ? If we put on Christ, we're supposed to put him on. So that when people look at us, they ought to be able to go, oh, that's one of those freaky Christians. I kind of like that. I kind of like thinking that people could look at us and know that we are his. Now, that's not always easy. Can I get an amen? It's not always easy in the world today because there is so much going on and we have a tendency to want to respond. And that's when he has said to me, be still and know that God is God. So do I trust that? We do. But it's hard sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. All of you were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourselves with Christ. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture in the whole world. There is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. One of my favorite pieces of scripture in the whole world. You are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. In our baptismal covenant, we speak of being in Christ. And we speak of being against the forces of evil and wickedness. Do you know that part? The hard part is discerning that, because sometimes evil is very, what's the word? Somebody really smart, give me a word, deceptive. Evil can just slink around and look so good. Can I get an amen? And then it jumps up and, I can't tell you where it bites you. Never mind, I can't tell you that story. But it does bite us. But the wise person is the one who goes, oh man, that was evil. And it did get a little grip on me just a minute, but it's not going to keep it. Because that does happen to us sometimes, doesn't it? I think I'm doing the right thing. You know, maybe these Jews said, well, listen, if all these people get circumcised, if all these guys get circumcised, it'll be good for them. Oh, yikes. And it will make it better for them. But that was a little deceptive. Because that's not what God called for. So remember this week. What? Oh, but you've got a brand new Jesus jacket on. That's what we're wearing, Ms. Rita. Thank you for your segue into that. You got a brand new Jesus jacket on, and the world ought to be able to see it in you. But you can only do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. I like to think of this Holy Spirit's kind of standing behind me, fixing my shoulders a little bit, making sure my role is covered. Oh, yeah, I do. I have a role. Making sure that my slip isn't hanging. I love thinking about the Holy Spirit having my back. Do you? Come on. Be joyful. The world tries to steal our joy every chance it gets. But we're not going to let it, right? Okay. The sermon is simple because I'm a simple person. But I sure love the Lord. And we're going to love the Lord together. Amen? Hey, tech people. I want you to know you're included in this. Hey, everybody at home watching this. I know Linda is. I know Bud is. Everybody go, hi, Bud. Hi, Linda. Jesus loves you. See, sometimes we forget that. But they're watching. Anybody else that's watching that we haven't met yet, we're at 300 North Madison, Lebanon, Missouri. Slide by. I'm the only really weird one. The rest of these people are pretty normal. But we'd be glad to see you. I'm so glad you're here today. Because the fact that you are here today is a witness and a statement to the world that you belong to Jesus Christ. Isn't that fabulous? Turn and look at somebody and say, you're fabulous. Psst, 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 psst. You're fabulous. Oh my gosh. We are part of the family of God. What a great song, isn't it? I invite you to pray with me. Amazing God, wow, how we love your words, how we love your scripture. Realizing, Lord, that you are God and we are not. We are going to take the, okay, I'm going to have to take the basics out of it and tell you how much we love you. And that we depend on you, and that no matter what the world is doing right now, in this hour, we have been in this place to tell the world how much we love you. We are grateful for this time. We are grateful for each other and being in this family. Help us and guide us in the days to come, because they look like they're going to be rocky, Lord. So that in the days that come, we will remember other people in this room who we can call. We will remember that we can come to this church. And if somebody's not here, the ground is holy. The prayer garden is open. There will always be a place to feel your presence on this property and even on our own homes. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.